It's recording.
Okay, good. So, kickoff to Ernie Stahl on arranging the shirim as in past years. It's always a pleasure to be here at Rinat to share Torah in the summer. being the week before Chodesh Elul, I thought it would be appropriate to start anticipating the arrival of Elul and relating to the themes that the month brings with it. I think that the concept of Elul is an amorphous one that's harder to pin down. Of course, we're familiar with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. At a certain point in a person's life, they become familiar with the concept of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the days in between. Elul, something that people only really hear about if they're in yeshiva. And even if they had a yeshiva experience, time learning, the place that focuses on these themes, it's still hard to fully understand what exactly it means in relation to the other days. I think the fact that there aren't any real Yomim Tovim during Elul means that it's not for people to put their finger on it. A couple of years ago, I was in a shul in Eretz Yisrael, the Shabbos Mevarchim of Rosh Chodesh Elul, which would be this coming Shabbat. After regular davening, the Gavai got up and he said, as everybody knows, this is Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul. And Elul is right before the Yom Noroi. And therefore, it behooves all of us to begin preparing for Shoshana Yom Kippurim. I was like so impressed in the shul that we're talking about. And therefore, already this Matai Shabbat, we're all going to come together in shul. I'm waiting to hear they're going to have a special musavah to arrange for the feast for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. It's not too early, it's Shabbos and Baruch of Elul. And so, again, just the associations that people have of how Elul prepares for the Yom Noroim are very different. Assembly when the Sora talked about Elul, didn't necessarily realize about the complexities of seat arrangements for Shani Yom Kippurim, so assumably it means more. And I guess the way we can try and determine what Elul is meant to have us thinking about is by looking at the minhagim that we have during Elul. And the background question I want to ask regarding the minhagim is, during the days of Elul themselves, to what extent is Elul merely an outgrowth, an expansion of the concepts of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the beginning of those concepts, maybe quantitatively less, but qualitatively similar, or is Elul something else, something qualitatively different than the Aseret Yemei Tshuva? I think here there's a difference between the minhagim of the Svardim and the minhagim of the Ashkenazim. If you look at the first source, the Shulchan Aruch says, Noagim lakum v'ashmoret lomar slichot v'tachanunim mirosh chodesh elul v'elach ad yom ha-kippurim. This is of course famous as the Svardic Chumrah. Before you jump ship from the Ashkenazic world because of rice and the 3 weeks and whatever other issues, rice on Pesach, just keep in mind the slichot for a month thing. Not the Svardim do their time, literally. What? They're shorter. Shorter, but they're shorter or longer. And we'll talk about later. In any case, the saying of Slichot begins from Rosh Chodesh Elul. And of course, this is similar to what we do during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and it's highlighted by the formulation of the Shulchan Aruch. Lomar Slichot Etachanunim, Mei Rosh Chodesh Elul Ve'elach Ad Yom HaKippurim. It's one continuum from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom HaKippurim. This is, of course, the Sephardic minhag. Ashkenazim don't do this. Ashkenazim have two other customs. And what's interesting is that I think one of the customs is like the Sephardic custom, an outgrowth, an expansion. The other is something unique, of course, to the days of Elul. Let's begin with the expansion, which is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, second source. Ad Yom HaKippurim, interestingly, he's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch halacha, or the words Ad Yom HaKippurim. V'noagim b'medinatenu, Mirosh Chodesh Elul Ad Yom HaKippurim, similar to what the Shulchan Aruch mentioned. Lomar v'chol yom achar gemar tefillah mizmor leDavid Hashem ori v'chulei bo gemar. The minhag of saying David Hashem. This minhag, like saying slichot, is a way of the days of Elul expanding what we're doing during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Svardim say slichot, or everyone says slichot for Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Svardim begin the slichot from Rosh Chodesh Elul. Everyone says the David Hashem ori v'yishi during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Ashkenazim as well begin saying the David Hashem from Rosh Chodesh Elul. So, in this regard, Ashkenazim, like Sephardim, are expanding the halachot of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, beginning them earlier in Elul. Let's stop for a moment to take a closer look at the Mizmor, the David Hashem, or the issue. And obviously, any understanding of Elul is going to need to relate to this Mizmor, which is the highlight of the month, the verbal expression of what it's about. I think one of the central themes in the Mizmor is the concept of seeking. Saying it's pasuk dalit achat sha'alti me'et Hashem otah vakesh shifti v'et Hashem kol yimei chayad. Later in a laden pasuk chet. L'cha amar libi bakshu fanai. Regarding you, my heart says, seek my face. And the response, et panecha Hashem avakesh. Here we have introduced, in addition to the concept of bikush, of seeking, the lev panim relationship. The heart calling out to seek the face of God, and the response of man's willingness to seek. Later on, pasuk tet, al taser panecha mimeni. The seeking of the faith and the worry that that is going to be kept distant. In any case, this is a mizmor that's read in Elul. In this way, the days of Elul are similar to Yaseir Yimei Tshuva. But there's a second custom that Ashkenazim have, particularly Ashkenazim, and that brings us back to the Ramah in the second line of the first source. The Ramah says, "Uminhag b'nei Ashkenaz eino ken." It's not this way. It's not just that it does something else. We do not say the slichot. We do something else during the days of Elul. We blow the shofar. This custom is something unique to the month of Elul. It's not done in the days of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Of course, done in Rosh Hashanah, but that's it. In this way, Elul is different. And obviously the question is, where does this come from? The thing with the David Hashem, you can say, okay, we want to begin already the spirit of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. We begin saying the Mizmor beforehand. But we don't blow the shofar during a Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. So where does it come from to blow during the days of Elul? So the Mishnah Berurah mentions a number of possible ideas of where this comes from. He says, Ot Bet, Umashe Nagu Mirosh Chodesh, to blow the shofar, Sha'az Alam Moshe Bahar Sinai, Lekabel Luchot Achronot, Ve'eviru Shofar V'machaneh, Moshe Alah Lahar. He says they blew the shofar in the desert during the days of Elul, when Moshe went up to get the second luchot, and they were blowing the shofar to tell people, to remind people when he had gone up, that he was still up, that they shouldn't get nervous, that they shouldn't lead again to the Chet HaEgel. First of all, one needs to understand what the significance of this is. So they blew the shofar then, why do we blow it now? Second point that Mishnah Berurah makes, middle of the second line. Yikat machta mikra, there's a reliance on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ani ledodi v'dodi li. Rashay tevot elul, the sof tevot, olamem keneged arvayim yom yashchosh elul yom kippurim. The four yuds are together, the 40 days that he was up on the mountain, the remez for it. And the first word, Ani ledodi v'dodi li, the rashay tevot, the first letter is elul. Ki be'elu arvayim yom ha'tshuva mikubelet. Shuvah is uniquely accepted in these 40 days. Liot libo karov el dodo b'tshuvah. That one's heart, remembering from Elul, from the David Hashem, the focus on the heart, that one's heart should be karov el dodo b'tshuvah. Interesting type of closeness. Va'az dodo karov lo lekabel tshuvah tomi ahava. Very interesting, beautiful phraseology. Connecting again to tshuvah, the Mishnah Berurah says, Va'od, smach mikra u'ma Hashem lokekat levavcha v'levav zarecha, Rashi Tevot Elul. Where do you have that? Et Levavcha v'et Levav. This, which is in the Parsha of Tshuva, also refers to Elul. So again, these are smachtos. Nice, they're rimazim. The question is, what's at the root of this? Let's begin by highlighting what you can't say. You can't just throw in the days of Elul with the general concept of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah and a time specially right for Tshuva. Because the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah are the time. Is the time that's especially right for tshuva to the exclusion of other times. This is stated clearly in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, codified by the Rambam in Perek Bet of Hilchot Tshuva, that the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippurim, these are days when tshuva is uniquely received, accepted. So obviously the days of Elul must be something else. So the question is, again, we've gone through the Minhagim, mentioning tshuva, doesn't really state doing tshuva, it says, liot libo karov el dodo b'tshuva. To have your heart close to your dodo, your beloved is tshuva. The question again is what all this means. So I think the key to explaining this, to understanding this, is going back to the story which is the paradigm for Elul, as we've seen in the Mishnah Berurah. And there are earlier sources as well. I mentioned the Mishnah Berurah because he brings it down on the Shulchan Aruch. The story, of course, is the story of Chet HaEgel and the Tshuva process that takes place in its wake. And particularly, the event that is the climax of this process when God appears to Moshe and tells him of the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yedzayin Amidbet attributes unique and eternal significance to the Yud Gimel Midot. Regarding the Pasuk Ve'achor Hashem HaPanah Ve'ikra Hashem HaShem Kel Rachum V'Chanun, the Yochanan says, first of all, if the Torah wouldn't have written it this way, we wouldn't be able to say how shocking this truly is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was himself like a Shneach Tzibur and showed Moshe how to daven to him on behalf of Bnei Israel. You see from here the importance of Nitatet HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shneach Tzibur, that part of the thing of the Yigil Midot is wrapping the palace around properly, the isolation, focus on oneself, the thought process of saying Yigil Midot. Hashem, Hashem, ani hu kodem sheyachta adam, v'ani hu le'achar sheyachta adam v'yaseh tshuva. The repetition of Hashem is that I am Hashem even after man sinned. You wonder, of course, what the need to mention that is. Of course, Hashem is still Hashem after man sinned. Kel rakum b'chanun, Amar of Yehuda, brit kutsa, l'shlosh esrei midot, she'enam chazrot rikam. She'enam, the next pasuk, hinei anochi koreit brit. Hashem kel rakum b'chanun is an eternal promise, a brit kruta, l'shlosh esrei midot, Sheinan chazrot rikam. That when they're used, they don't come back empty-handed. This is the power that Chazal attributed to the Yud Gimel Midot. Of course, they learned this from the Parsha and the role they play in that Parsha. In order to better appreciate it, let's take a look at the basic context of what happens with Chet HaEgel and the Tshuva process. So, of course, Hashem tells the Jewish people directly at Har Sinai the two Dibrot that were mentioned directly to the Jewish people. We know this from the fact that it's the Lashon Yachid, and first person. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's obviously not Moshe speaking. Similarly, when Hashem says, Lo Yelocha Elohim Acherim Al Panai, later on in the end of Pasuk Hey, when he finishes this whole concept, Ki Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's clearly Moshe speaking. Pasuk Zion, the next Dibra is, Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem, Elokecha Lashav Ki Lo Yidakeh. That's Moshe speaking, right? Ki Lo Yidakeh Hashem, that Hashem won't cleanse. The first two, Hashem is Hashem speaking himself. And it's in case, like we mentioned in Pasuk Hey, with the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which comes back to the beginning of Pasuk Bet. And these two Dibrot are central because they're the basic theology of our relationship with God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yelocha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. These two tenets, Ani V'lo Acher, we accept upon ourselves every day when we say Kriyat Shema. The first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, the basic halacha of Malchut Shamayim is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. That's the way of our accepting Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Echad. We stress the Dalit as opposed to a Reish. Echad V'lo Acher. Lo Yelocha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. This is what's basic. This is what's basic to our relationship with God. And that's why it's so problematic when the Jewish people sin with Avodah Zarah, worshipping some foreign entity, because it violates the basic tenet of their relationship with Hashem. Okay. We see Hashem's disgust, so to speak, in Periklam Midbet. When Hashem says to Moshe, Pasuk Zayin, Yisver Hashem el Moshe, Lech Reid, go down, Kishichet Amcha Hashem Ha'aleit and Eretz Yisrael. Here you hear in God's tone, not just the fact that a terrible sin has happened, but you hear how he's relating to the Jewish people. There's a distance. The father speaking to the mother and saying, go take care of your son who, look what your son did. Kishichet Amcha Hashem Ha'aleit and Eretz Yisrael. And this difference can be understood in light of what the Jewish people said regarding the ego. Right. What were they looking for? A representation, the God who took them out of Egypt, because Moshe took them out of Egypt. So now Moshe's when we need someone else. Eile Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Ha'aluch on Eretz Yisrael. So if the Jews attributed Yetziat Yisrael to some other entity, so Hashem said to Moshe, go take the people that you took out of Egypt, because I obviously wasn't part of it, at least as far as Bnei Yisrael see it. Lech rei ki shichet amecha asher haleitem Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe realizes that the problem here is not just what the Bnei Yisrael did, but maybe the correct response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see Moshe addressing this particular issue. Again, we see the word panim that we've been seeing throughout. Moshe relates to that question. They are your people. And I think the next sukkim where Moshe brings the arguments, the first one, Pasuk Lamed Bet, and then Pasuk Yud Gimel, I think these arguments can be seen as really backing up the claim that he made in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Lama Hashem Yechareh Apcha Be'Amecha. I'll bring you two proofs that they're your people. Number one, the Egyptians are going to see them as your people. And when you destroy them, they're not going to say, God destroyed them because they weren't his people. God destroyed them because he was incapable to take them through the desert. And Zechor L'Avraham Yitzchak L'Yisrael Avodecha. This is not some coincidental relationship. This is a relationship that's based on your commitment to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And you see that on some level Hashem accepts Moshe's argument. And you see it from not just Pasuk Yudala, the content, but the formulation. Vayinachem Hashem al hara'a asher diber la'asot le'amo. Okay. So Moshe gains this stay of execution. It's interesting that all this is going on before Moshe has gone down and cleaned up the egg. The Jews are still sitting, but Moshe has to daven right away because Hashem wants to wipe them out on the spot. Moshe gains his stay. Then he goes down and cleans up the egel. But the cleaning up in itself isn't enough. How do we see this? Because the next parah begins by the Ve'edaber Hashem al Moshe, very similar to how he spoke before. Lech alei mizeh. Before he spoke lech, right? Lech alei mizeh atah bi'a'am asher ha'leit on Eretz Mitzrayim. Again, I'm not killing them, moving on, but I'm relating to them at the same distance. And this distance is reinforced in Pasuk Bet. Shalachti lefanecha malach v'gerashti et ha'kanani ha'mori v'achidi v'achrizi achidi v'ayimusi. I'll send the malach who's going to drive the nations out from in front of the Jewish people. As we'll soon see, Moshe understands this to mean that Hashem is not going to be accompanied in himself. And he sees this as problematic. And maybe the best expression of the distance, the most tangible expression of the distance between God and the Jewish people is Moshe's place within all this. It says in Pasuk Zayin, "U'Moshe yikach et ha'ohel, v'natalo michutz l'machaneh harchek min ha'machaneh." Moshe takes his tent and moves it outside of the camp. Why? Well, Moshe is the only one within the Jewish people who still has this intensive, pure relationship with God. He cannot have that relationship within the Jewish people because the Jewish people have distanced themselves. It's interesting to see the name that's attributed to this tent outside of the Machaneh. Zekaralo Oel Moed. And if you're keeping track of the Parshiot, this is of course Parshat Ki Tisah. Right after Parshiot Truma and Nisaba, which describe the Oel Moed as the Mishnah that's going to be the place of meeting for the Jewish people within the camp. Moshe is now moving his tent outside the camp, and that's the Oel Moed, the place that's going to be a place of meeting with God. It can't be with them within the Machaneh anymore. So we have that concept that we saw in the David Hashem. Anyone who wanted to see God had to leave the camp in order to find him. The prophet seems to imply that there were those who saw it, which is important too. And the seeking of the Jewish people, the yearning of the Jewish people, can be seen also in the next sukkah. And Moshe would testify they would stand up and look after him. They were bowing down to the Shekhinah's presence. Hashem said, Panim el Panim. interpersonal relationship. And then Moshe would be able to go back into the camp. Yeshua with Moshe is outside the camp. So this is the backdrop. What Hashem is suggesting to Moshe. Hashem is saying to Moshe, go take your people that you took out of Egypt. I'll help you conquer the land. I'll send them out, but I'm not with this people. And that's why your tent needs to be outside of the rest of the camp. So here Moshe says, that's good, Ben. Yom Moshe El Hashem, Re'e Ata Omer Elai Ha'alet Ha'amazah. You're telling me to take these people up. But you're not telling me what's going to go with me. You're telling me that you can let me know you in a unique way and that I found favor in your eyes. If it's true, explain your ways to me so that I can truly know you. So that I can truly find favor in your eyes, so that I'll know how to find favor in your eyes. If I find favor in your eyes, tell me how to find favor in your eyes. Moses states very clearly, this isn't just some exercise in him understanding God's ways. He wants to understand God's ways so that he can find the way for God to see that this is his people. Now God's answer, I think, can only be fully appreciated if you're keeping track of the importance of the word panim as a personal relationship. Vayomar panai elechu banichoti lach. My face will accompany you, meaning I'll accompany you personally. Moshe now responds, this isn't enough for him. Vayomar elavim ein panech polchim altal enuza. It's not going to be that way. Don't take us out. Uvamei yivada esoki masati chen beinecha ani v'yamecha. The only way I'm willing to go, and the only way I'm going to know that I have found favor, me and your people, is if you're going to accompany us. Now Hashem answers Moshe in the totality that Moshe has been speaking. Yomer Hashem el Moshe, gam et hadavar hazeh asher dibarta aseh, ki matzata chein beinai, ve'ada achav Hashem. I'm going to let you know this for real, completely. Leomar Hareini Natzodecha. Moshe says, "Show it to me." So page 3. Yomer Ani Avir Kol Tuvia Lefanecha. I'm going to cast all of my goodness in front of you. The Karati B'Shem Hashem Lefanecha V'Chanoti Et Asherachon V'Yichamti Et Asherachem. Hashem talks about what He's going to do. If you just read Parashat Gimel, you don't see where He actually does it. For that, you need to continue into Parashat Gimel. What most people don't see at first glance when they read the story is that the Luchot Shniyot are not just the story of the new rock. There's a whole revelation that accompanies the Luchot Shniyot. In fact, the Luchot Shniyot, the chiseling of the new rock, seems to be as a plea for the revelation. Shem says to Moshe, chisel new rock. Moshe chisels the rock. And then, it says in Pasuk Hey, that Shem comes down in the clouds, stands in with Moshe, called out in the name of God, Hashem Bayavor, Hashem Ophana Bayikra, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Bechanun Eret Hapayim Barastat Yisrael. This is the response to Moshe's request of, show me, explain to me how you work. It's the fulfillment of God's words to Moshe, Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Alpanecha Bayavor Hashem Ophana, and now he shows him what the key is. And the key is the Yud Gimel Midot. The Yud Gimel Midot, I think, a reformulation of God's nature, particularly in how it relates to the Jewish people. If you remember back on page 2, Parakaf, when Hashem presented himself to the Jewish people, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yalcha Lehem Achemim Al Panai, Lo Tishtach Avadahem Lo Tiavdehem. Why? Ki Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, Kel Kana, a vengeful God, Pokeda Bonavot Albani Malchideshim Value Deim Lasonai Pasik Vav O Sechesed Adu Chesed La Alafim Lo Abai Lashomei Yisotai. How does God present Himself in Parakah? If you wrong me, you're going to suffer. If you're good, you're going to benefit. We would call this Mizatabin. What's the problem with Midat HaDin? People that make mistakes. HaDin? Can't exist that way. Hashem now reformulates the Midot with which he interacts with the Jewish people. Hashem, Hashem, meaning I can still be there for you after the sin. Not Kel Kana, but Kel Bakur Kanu. Not, I'm going to punish Erech HaFayim. Where there's a chance to correct. Erech HaFayim V'Rav Chesed V'Yemen. V'Rav Chesed. There's Chesed, an abundance of Chesed. Possibility even for sinners to receive Chesed. Now this is a huge Chiddush. It's a Chiddush that doesn't really make sense. Because, if you think about it, if a person created for a purpose, and they disappoint, so why should they be shown any chesed? And I think Chazal expressed this idea of the surprising nature of tshuva in a famous mashal story told by the Yerushalmi, the next source on page 3. Shalul l'chachma chote ma'u ancho. The concept of wisdom, meaning sense, was asked what should happen to a chote. Rula and chazal mishle tata'in to dov ra'ah. Shalul nebuah. Concept of prophecy of God's will in the future. Chote ma'u ancho. It was God's tish. One, it didn't make sense within the natural progression of the system. The Jews should have been wiped out. That should have been it. Moshe Davins, we call Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not just concerned for himself, he's concerned with the future of the Jewish people. It's not just the new people who will come from him, but a continuation of the heritage of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he brings God to reveal other side, not just Midat HaDin, usage of the term can be related to the first lugo and the second lugo, not just Midat HaDin, but what we would call Midat HaRachum B'Chanun, Midat HaRachanun. Which means there's a chance to do tshuva via Yisgavim. And I ask the question, we're going to ask this, okay, well, how does this tshuva work? And how does the L of time period leading up to it, when all this negotiation happened, how does that prepare for it? Yes? Well, the truth is in these tshuva, let's speak about, you know, punishment implications for other sins. We're already from the first Luchot that talks about it. The rest of the Torah talks about the implications of keeping or not keeping sins. The truth is part of, I think, why it's difficult for people to relate fully to what the Torah speaks about is because most of the promises of Tzar Va'onesh are about Avodah Zarah, right? The Kriyat Shema talks about Avodah Zarah. I just mentioned as a general statement that I think it's important for us to be able to see Avodah Zarah in its broader context. People imagine Avodah Zarah, I always tell students, are Getschkes. Who knows what Getschkes are? Still some people know what they are. What? Statues. You know, when I was growing up, I read the translated puzzle, but most of the Shtachav and the Nacharim don't have Getschkes. You know, those of us who knew Yiddish, they were talking about worshipping underwear. The other version of it. Today, the kids don't know. You know, Getschkes, not Getschkes. When you think of Avodah Zarah as an idol, as, Snoop? No, they have it in that movie with the gladiators. And in the beginning he has little idols there and his family and he bows down to them at night. Anyway, if you limit Avodah Zarah to idols, it's very hard to relate to the situation. I think Avodah Zarah in the broader sense is serving, being about, being devoted to anything else but God. Meaning, really ultimately, life is about serving God or serving something else. The Gemara says in Shabbat, Kuftal, says, Lo yeh decha el zar. There shouldn't be within you a foreign god. So the Gemara asks, Eizo el zar sheyesh betocho shel adam. What is the foreign god within a person? So the Gemara says, Yeh tzar. What does it mean? Serving yourself. I think in the broader sense of things, the old times the expression was Avodah Zarah. But even today, it's still about service of God, service of ourselves. Yeah.
There's a question
that you can't see me physically in the true sense, pshat, Josh is loving, by the way, you can't see God for real. And what's interesting is that whenever it talks about panim el panim, it's always Hashem spoke in panim el panim, but not saw him panim el panim. So again, Moshe is learning the midah, learning to relate to God on some level, but not actually seeing God. Yavor Hashem el panam. It's hard to know. Gemara talks about Hashem telling Moshe there's certain things you can't understand. Meaning not being able to see God's face means not being able to understand everything. About his understanding. Okay. Yes.
Just in track on knowledge, no one's clear what Moshe is doing tshuva for when he's again giving him a meal.
Who said Moshe is doing tshuva?
Well, isn't that one of the main uses of giving him a meal?
Hashem is presenting to Moshe giving him a meal, right? Moshe doesn't say anything, right? Vayavor Hashem al panav, vayikra. Hashem is redefining himself for Moshe. Right? It says the next part, by the way, that Moshe falls on his face and prays. Maybe you can give him a meal, right? Hashem revealed it. There are a lot of points where what is always a standard. Meaning
the formulation for Paramel Shatsiva for Zara and Shlach, the notion of a mover for certain things, remember called mover for Zara is called Zarpua.
But the Zara is very significant. Do you agree with me, right? To bring those
just a different response.
That
you could have asked. He was wondering why, hey, what is Zara supposed to call Zarpua for all this? What is Zara is called Zarpua.
This would be affirmative saying that Avodah Zarah just seems to be this dominant force. You're saying, in fact, that Avodah Zarah is called Zarah, it's called Zarah, it's called Avodah Zarah. It's a mathematical thing. Okay?
Guilty.
Okay. Let's dwell on Shua for a moment. Of course, something that if you actually think about it, it's hard to fully understand. Maybe the best source which highlights the difficulty of understanding Shua, and thus maybe the beginning of understanding it, is Rabbi Yitzchak's suggestion in Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that there are four things that one can do to have their tzar din torn up. Zaka, which is interesting, right? Bride, God. I assume the reason Zaka is a form of tshuva is because a person really has to feel it in order to be willing to put their money where their feelings are. And if a Jew is willing to shell out money, it's a sign they really, really feel bad about it. Tzedakah, crying, that makes sense. Shinui Hashem. Shinui Maisa, which is the fourth thing, changing your ways, that makes a lot of sense. But Shinui Hashem, that's very strange. If a person changes their name, this might be the source of people going to Israel and changing their name, right? And until you went to Israel, their name was Jack. And it was why, it comes back as Yaakov. And he did tshuva. Say the new name, that's it, and everything's fine. What exactly does this mean? There's even a medrash which sounds a lot like the witness protection program. When the Satan comes looking for him, like that outreach, that's Jack. I'm Yaakov. Like the Rambam seems to say something like that based on that medrash. I assume the Rambam says, "Darkei Tshuva is Leo Tashav Soei Kavod Lishne Hashem the Nefil Kamunim Those who stuck to people who stuck to Rambam and the Dabbish Chodavo who Mishan Shmo Kolomar." Amy, Ani, Achen. The Amy also a Isha, Salatana Maasin. I'm a different person. I'm not the one who did that. It's hard to see this as something real. I would imagine that most people see tshuva as some type of form of double jeopardy. You still have that show? I think Alex Trebek must be very old by now, so I was wondering who's the wheel of So, the double jeopardy, basically, you got the points in the first couple rounds, which is all year, it doesn't really matter too much. And then comes the double jeopardy round. And then you get a lot of points, all missed for a double, all there for a double, and you add a lot of points, and you somehow win. So again, the question is, of course, how or why tshuva amounts to something. If you look at page 4, take a closer look at the practice of tshuva through this stage of error. The character of the Torah which discusses Shuvah most at length is the Marian Paraklam, which we always read right before Rosh Hashanah. Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech, Interesting that the first stage of tshuva is not to return to God, but to return to oneself. Our elaboration of this. Hashem matches our two tshuvas, with two tshuvot of his own. V'shav Hashem Elokecha, v'shav v'kibetzcha. Interestingly, it seems that God's returning us to Israel is his response to our tshuva. Meaning, if we return to God, God returns to us. And how does he show that he's returned to us? What does it mean that God returns to us? He returns us to him physically as an expression of it. V'shav Hashem Elokecha shvutcha v'richanecha. There's a chmanas on you. No matter how far you are, Pasuk Dalet, Yitzei HaShemayim, Yishan Yitzavet Tava, Yitzei HaShem Lekech Ba'aretz Yishashu Avotel, and of course, Rav Gor used these sukkim in formulating the Tfilah, the Shlom HaNevina. Then, in Tzvini Chadik Vav, Umol HaShem Elokecha Levotcha Ve'et Levav Zarecha, Li'ahavar Et HaShem Elokecha V'vol Levotcha V'chol Nafshecha L'man Chayel. This is a strangely placed Pasuk because it talks about God fixing us to a point where we'll serve him completely. But that is the climax of that. But this is after we did tshuva. I took him out of that describe our tshuva. Gimel and Omer describing God's response. And part of that response is going to be, they'll give our heart a brick meal in a way we can serve him for real. But I thought the tshuva was done then. This is an interesting question within the flow of this piece that presents tshuva. The Torah continues. Concludes this piece in the Pasuk Yud. You can serve God with all your heart. That's true. But then it continues in Pasuk Yud. Ki ha-mitzvah azot, Hashem l'chini tzadot ha-yom, this mitzvah which I command you today, lo nefleti mimchav lo nefokai. It's not above you or far from you. Lo v'shamayim yilein mor mi avena, lo v'shamayim v'yikastel lam v'yishmenu avena avena, lo v'yavayam yilein mor mi avena, evrayam v'yikastel lam v'yishmenu avena avena. I think the Shemayim and Abraham are examples of Nislate and Rechokah. If something is above you, an example you would give of that is Shemayim, and something far from you, an example you would give of that would be Abraham. It's not above you or far from you. Rather, but you know it, Taro, Elecha, Adavar, Ma'od, Reticho, Vilvachal, Ma'asimcha. It's very close to you. What is so referring to at least four circuits? One could say, all the mitzvot. What seems to imply that it's not all the mitzvot? Mitzvah is up, written in singular. So what singular mitzvah are we talking about? The Ramban says we're talking about tshuva. And the Ramban proves from here that tshuva is not just an opportunity, but a mitzvah. A person has a responsibility to try and correct themselves. The Ramban proves it from these circuits. Can you bring any other proofs from these tzukim that they're describing the mitzvah of tshuva? Sorry? Vishav. What did it say in the last tzukim here? You Alice, through your doubt, let's talk about this mitzvah being close to you. The mitzvah is not far from you. It's very close to you. Where is it? Tiho bilvav. How many times did you see the stress on lev as part of the mitzvah of tshuva? Yor Erevin, that Nandala Nandala, has a very interesting drush on these surveys. It serves as the backdrop to a lot of commentary discussions of tshuva. Yor Erevin says, Yitzchak Amar Mehacham, this is how you know that tshuva is close. Karov Elacha, Adavar Ma'od, Yitzicho, Bilvachah, La'asato. Eim Asai Karov Elacha, what is it close to you? Bitman Shevitzicho, Bilvachah, La'asato. What Yor Erevin is saying is, tshuva can be close to you. When it's the tshuva of Bilvacha. When it's the tshuva of Bilvacha, which seems to imply that there are different ways to do tshuva. Some are very far from you,
and some are very close to you. And the question is, what does it mean? One of the discussions on tshuva, still for 50 lines, is not just one part of, but really the entire Sefer HaTanya. The Tanya, in the introductory page, the Shah, introduces itself as Sefer Kuti Amorim, Hanikra is the same Sefer Shalbenomi. Interesting, about time that the real name for the Sefer was Sefer Shalbenomi. Later became known as Baal Tanya because of the first word, Tanya. It's interesting, if it would have kept its original name, maybe we would have called the Rebbe the Baal Benomi. It's an interesting name for this Rebbe. It won't be known that way. But the truth is, he wrote his Sefer for Benomi. The story goes in Chabad that he also wrote his Sefer in Shel Tzadik. His son asked him, because he wanted to see the Sefer in Shel Tzadik, and that's the Sefer Shel Benomi. So he said to him, well, the Sefer Shel Benomi, you have to be ready for it. He said, I wrote it, and here it is, it was bound on both sides. This is him bound on both sides, hard to read. So when you'll be ready, we'll open it up. And then, of course, it burned in the famous Lavavitch fire. There was a fire. The Baal Tanya had a fire. Not only a spiritual fire, I mean, one of the red box. But without the red box, it being, of course, the Lavavitch. Still there. In any case, so they had a fire. Baal Tanya lost a lot of work in his fire. That's why the Shulchan Aruch Rambam is not complete. Really written on our time also, but most of the law. Then getting back to the introduction here, says the Lukat keeps praying and keeps the prince to share alone. The Sano Pasuk Karov and Asa Devar Moav the people of Vaspala Hasasa. Based on this pasuk, Levaer Hekei to explain well, Eku Karov Moav. How it's very close. I mean, sometimes it's very close, sometimes it's very far. The Derech Arucha Utsara in a long and short way. There's not the same for us. This is the Shah of the Sefer. The Sefer is about this pasuk. The reference here at the end to the long and short way, I think the intent here, the Gemara on the page right before what we just saw in Eretz. The Gemara tells a very interesting story. It's actually what he's down to see, he was telling the story. He says, once I was walking on a road, and I saw a young boy sitting at the crossroads. And I asked him, how do you get to the city? And he said to me, the two sources is about the page four, he said, this is the long, short way, this is the short, long way. Zu ksara ba'arukah, zu arukah uksara. Which way would you go? The long, short way, or the short, long way? The Rebbe chose the short, long way. So I went on the short, long way, and it was really short. I got to the city, they were doing construction. They were making gardens there. I had to go all the way back. I said to the boy, he told me this was the short way. Because I told you it was the short, long way. And it is short, but hopefully it's long because and you get to come back. So I kissed him on the head and I told him, Ashrei Ben Yisrael, that you're so smart. I wonder exactly what he meant by that. You're all wise guys. It was an interesting story, it's a matter of honest, the question is, why is the story being told to us? Who cares? That Rebbe's GPS problem. You know, something when we get there, it's like SAR, you get around the back, you can't get there. They're going to try to use GPS to get to SAR? Takes you to the back, poor woman, they went to knock on her door. Put up a fence there. Complex. Don't use GPS to go to FDR or Moshe Bal. In any case, why do you need to read these GPS stories? Presumably there's some significance, some lesson in this story, obviously. The Baal Tanya saw significance in this story. This is how he begins his Sefer. As I mentioned, he calls it Sifron Shel Benonim. Based on the Gemara in Brachot, after Machalos and Mezet, the last source here on page 4, Baal Tanya quotes this Gemara in the first part of the Sefer, which is printed on page 5. And basically, the Baal Tanya begins with a very simple question. Because if you look at the Gemara, there's so many different terms used to describe people, so many levels. There's a Tzadik Gomer and a Tzadik Sheinu Gomer, and then there's a Benjamin, and there's a Rosh Gomer and a Rosh Sheinu Gomer. So what do all these things mean? And then he asks, why is it that Chazal had about the same problems. He points to the Gemara at the bottom page 4, the Gemara in Brachot, that's on Chalakum is that. Well, the Gemara talks about Tzadik, Rasha Benoni. The end of the Gemara, Rabbi says, Kazon Anu Benoni. People like us, we're Benoni. Amul Ahai, and I responded to him, Lo Shavik Mar Chai in the whole berry. You don't live any life for anyone else. I mean, if you're a Benoni, what's everybody else? About time you notes, a number of different Gemara about Rava. The Gemara says, Rava never stopped learning. We're talking too many years from the youngest. He never stopped learning. How can he afford you with a Benjamin? I always have this question myself. It's happening in different yeshivot.
Shul.
It's always the people who are most righteous who are crying the most. You wonder, what is this person doing they're crying about? What are they crying about? You use your own images. How? They really think they're a manly? They must be a tzaddik. There's nothing to worry about. They're not a tzaddik. What should I be worried about that I'm not so worried about? How could Rava really thought he was a manly? The Baal Tanya explains that essentially God is not really interested in what we've done and not done. He's interested in who we are, and what we're about, and what we care about. And generally, an indication of who we are and what we care about is what we've done and not done, obviously. But what we've done and not done is not the cause, it's the indication. It's not the sibah, it's the siman. It's a sign of what we really are, what we're really about. It explains the Balatayim that tzaddik is someone who is motivated only by service of God. That's a son, a rasha. If someone is motivated only by the service of himself, most people are not tzaddikim or rishayim. Most people are benonim. And to use the lashon of Gemara, the bottom of page 4, Rachel Tashem Apollos, it says, this is where the Baal Tanya gets it from, a tzaddik yeter tov shoso, a tzaddik is dominated by his yeter tov, a rasha is dominated by his yeter hara, benonim zebezeh shoso. A benami is a person who is torn. And again, here we're not talking about what a person does. We're talking about what a person feels. A good example for people who are righteous and always do the right thing. You wake up in the morning, your alarm goes off. And you know that. You're going to, you know, be at tefillah, you have to get up now. Forgetting the question of whether you get up now. Something says, someone says, you know, it's time to get up right now. That voice, that decision, that consideration is something pulling you the other way. And we have that consideration, even if we choose never to listen to it, we have it. A Benami is a person who's torn in life. Even if in practice it expresses itself in other ways. Most people are Benami. Even big tzaddikim are Benami. Because they have other feelings, they have other things pulling at them, pulling at their heart. The Baal Tanya goes on to explain, thinks that there's a lot of truth in this, that ultimately tshuva is about dealing with those internal voices, dealing with that internal question of identity. And here, tshuva can be done in a long, short way or a short, long way. The short, long way is when a person changes X, Y, or Z outwardly. It doesn't deal with the internal conflict. That's the short way because it's very easy. But it's the long way because you haven't really changed anything. The long, short way of tshuva is longer, it's much harder, is to deal with the internal questions, internal conflicts, internal tugs this way and that way, and to try and clarify for oneself who they really are, what I really want to be about. That is tshuva in the long, but short way, because one addresses the real identity question of oneself. The famous line that Baal Tanya himself was asked about the difference between Chassidut and Musar. You know that Musar and Chassidut came out of the South the same time. Musar was a little bit later, but as Chassidut was gaining prominence, he asked him, well, what's the difference between Chassidut and Musar? And he said, Musar addresses the wrong things that people do and tries to get people to stop doing them. Chassidut addresses why people do things wrong, and trying to get them to understand the why and correct that. I don't think he used this analogy, but we can talk about the famous mashal of the faucet and the water that has spilled from the faucet. Cleaning up the water, or trying to address the faucet. The long, short way of tshuva is ultimately how it's close by. Because it's the tzvicha uvil vavcha. It's at the root of coming to terms with what tugs on a person's own heart in identifying themselves this way or that way. And the truth is that I think this is really the root of the imagery used in the Vadid Hashem Olivi issue. Let's go back to that Mishmor, which we begin saying, and beginning next week, beginning closer, page 1. Talk about Hashem being the light. Chash al-tabit Hashem otah ha-kish. That a person decided to seek this direction. What does it say? Lecha amar libi bakshu pana. What does it mean to seek God's face? Well, as we continue with this imagery of faith being a personal relationship, of faith being the direction a person's faith is, so we're saying that there's a call. The heart calls out, Bakshu Panai, and man answers at Panecha Hashem Avakesh. This really is the heart, as we say, of Kodesh Halom. The call to seek God's face and to decide with the decision whether to answer it or not. If we come back to the second Minhag of Tziyat Shofar, look at the bottom of page 5. Rambam there has his famous words about Tziyat Shofar. Anyone who's ever studied the mitzvah of Tziyat Shofar analytically knows the discussion about whether the mitzvah is to blow the shofar or to hear the shofar. I don't know if people have asked themselves why it would be one or the other. I think the simple explanation is that if you understand the shofar's goal to address God, right, to remind him of that, he's talking about what that means, so the mitzvah is tiyah. But if the goal of the shofar is to affect oneself, then the mitzvah obviously lies in the shmiyah, the person's internalizing of the voice of the shofar. The Rambam, of course, holds the latter on both those issues, and he says that even though tiyah shofar is a zerat ha-kasuv, there's a remnant to it. What is the remnant? Says the Rambam, bottom of page 5. Klamar, uu yishenim yishenatem. Sleepers awake from your slumber. Tenirdanim yikitim yitagamatem. Techetsubim atechem chazubachubah. Search your ways and chazubachubah. Vizichru barachem. Remember your Creator. Through this process. Eilu ashachim edanet avre adman v'shogim kol shenatem. Hevel v'rit shalayur lo yatir. Interesting description the Rambam gives of what happens to people. The Rambam says the shofar is not to address people who seek evil. People who seek evil aren't going to hear anything when the shofar is blown. The shofar is to awaken those who fall asleep. How have they fallen asleep? They've been shofar at their met ba'avlezman. People have things that they live their lives for. The truths that they're devoted to. But those truths become, so to speak, forgotten in the meaningful sense of time. Meaning, you have to live your life. You get up, go to work, home, some dinner, clean up dinner, get things ready, pay bills. You get so busy doing the things you need to do that aren't the purpose of life, that you're about, that you can forget the truths that you're about. And the shofar is supposed to awaken you. Notwithstanding what the shofar is on Rosh Hashanah, which as I mentioned is a debate, I think during Kodesh Elul is definitely what the Rambam identifies. It's an alarm clock. It's something meant to wake us up. It's the proverbial Lecha Amar Libi Bakshu Pana. It's a call to a heart to call out to us to seek something. I think the difference between El and Yamin Noroim is that El is not the title for Tshuva. It's not when Tshuva is accepted. It's where a person finds their direction. If we talk about there being two stages in Tshuva, which the Ramban, by the way, elaborates on the source that I skipped here. The ultimate stage of Tshuva is when a person changes himself. A person develops themselves to function differently. That's stage 2. Stage 1 is where a person decides the difference they want to be. Where a person comes to terms with who they are, whoever they are, the forces pulling on them, the way these forces affect them, how they live their lives practically. A person recognizes that. Here's a call to face in a different direction, to face God in a more personal way, and decides to pursue that. El is hearing the shofar, l'cha amar libi bakshu panai, and responding at panecha Hashem avakesh. That's it. Especially for Ashkenazim, there's no slichot. There's no yudim umidot, and it's not a search to make tshuva, it's finding the direction. And I want to conclude by showing you how I think all this relates to Yamim Norim. In order to do this, let's take a look at page 6. Everyone knows that one, if not the central to this morphism of the Yamim Norim, is the Davidic morph. It comes to Marib on Shoshana 9, you know, Marib is short, and we don't say any Slizos, we don't say any Yudin, some place to do. Marib is Gohol. It's very simple Marib, basically like a regular Marib. And then after they open their own Kodesh, and very slowly the Chazan says, the David Mizmor, Hashem, Hashemah, at least that's what I'm familiar with. And very slowly going through this Mizmor Tidim. This Mizmor Tidim is said in three contexts. It's said on Sunday, and it said we put the Sefer Torah back, and it said in the Yamim Norim, and I think it said these three times because there are three parts to it, and each part relates to a different time when we say it. The first part is Adid Nidmor. Lashem Ha'aretim Lo'a Tebel V'Yoshveva. God owns the world. He who al Yamim is the Dabar on the Rosh Chol Hametz, because He created. This is the reason we say it on Yom Rishon, right? First day of creation. Part 2, what's it doing? Mi alev har Hashem, umi akum mikom kachon. Who can climb God's mountain? Who can stay in that holy place? Answer, miki, chachayim, levar, levav, shalom, asal, ashrab, nafshi. Person has cleaned his hands, cleaned his heart, who doesn't devote himself to meaninglessness. Shalom, ishva, le mirma. Yitza, bracha, me'et, Hashem, u'tzaka, me'akesh. He will receive the blessing and the goodness of God. Zed Dor Dorsha. Now in a plural way, applying it to a particular context. This is the generation of seekers. Those who have sought your face. Yaakov, the people of Yaakov. This pasuk obviously fits in very nicely as a way of describing people who have been reading what is more for a month. In the Hashem, where we say, L'cha amar libi, bakshu, fanayim, with our response of, B'lach Hashem, because if a person has been seeking God's face, they can be called the generation of, B'lachshei fanacha, and thus they're worthy to climb God's mountain. The third part of the Mizmor, why we read it when it's prayer is taken out. Tu shalim rashechem di natu v'tzoram di yavol melech hakavot. Mizemah Kavod, we're trying to describe the God who's coming in. Shem Yisus V'yibor, Yibor Mokhama, sign up, do Shem Rosh Hashem again, and put it on V'yavol Melchah. Mizemah, Hashem Tzvot, Melchah Kavod. As opposed to Tzvot and Gimel through above, we were talking about who, which human can come to God's mountain, Mi'alev Har Hashem, in Tzvot and Zayim through you, the me here is not the human, but Hashem. It's really a meeting between man and God. On God's mountain. In order for man to get to God's mountain, he has to come up. In order for God to get to God's mountain, he has to come up. He has to come. Man has to be Ola. Hashem has to Ba. We're talking about this meeting that takes place, really Rosh Hashanah, through Yom Kippur, the time where the Melech, right, appears, where we say, Malchut, God is closer, if you're sure Hashem be Mato, we stand before God. This is highlighted by the famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that the Tanya of Aleph, which says that on Rosh Hashanah, Imru Lifanai in Rosh Hashanah Malkiyah, Hashem says, say in front of me, Malkiyah, the Son of Shapro, Kadesh Hashem, Kuni Alechem, Kadesh Yalez, the Son of Hashem, Lifanai, Lifanai. Rosh Hashanah is where we stand listening to Hashem. So our highlights is in Rosh Hashanah, our highlights is in Yom Kippur. Be listening to Hashem, the shofar takes our zikaron, ya'alez upon Hashem, the fanai of God. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is when we stand before God. The question is whether we've prepared for that moment by seeking it, by seeking a more intensive relationship with God. And that is what Elul is encouraging us to do. These two words, of course, the two verbs, ya'alez, biyavo, are the basis of the tefillah that we say every Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Yavdut, Rosh Hashanah as well. The tefillah of Ya'alev Yavo. I don't know if anyone ever thought of where this combination comes from, Ya'alev Yavo. All these verbs, Elokeinu, Elokeinu, Ya'alev Yavo, Ya'agiyah, Ya'arev, Ya'aseh, Yishamah, Yifakeh. Where do these verbs come from? I think the first two at least come from this Mizmor, which talks about the meeting between man and God as described as Ya'aleh, V'yavo, Zichroneinu, Chitzoneinu, that we should be reunited with Tanei Hashem. God should remember us because we seek that relationship. God should remember us with Tova, and in what way should this express itself? Chus v'chaneinu v'rachem aleinu v'oshiin. Rachamim, rachum, v'chanum, relate to us as the Yudgimu Mido Tarachamim, express God's ability to relate to us after we do tshuva. So the Yomim Lomayim are about this meeting, this standing with Nei Hashem, coming up to see God, Yalev, the God who is by, Yalev Yavo, and Elul is meant to prepare us for that. Not because we've changed, but because we've decided to seek a new direction. We've decided to face a new direction. That's why I think that Elul is about the process of facing tshuva, of determining a direction that a person faces, which hopefully later on they'll be able to develop and bring themselves closer to, but choosing a direction and answering the call of the heart of Bakshu Farah. Hopefully we'll be able to begin this process next week and conclude it successfully by Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you. Hello.
Anyone who has done the first?